Good morning, Connecticut, and to our friends across the Sound, it's Director of Public Affairs, John Vokette. Thanks for tuning in to Connoisseur Media's award-winning public affairs program for the people, bringing you the latest information to help address concerns in our communities tied to youth, the economy, public health and safety, aging, education, and the environment. We're opening today with SCORE of Western Connecticut, the state SCORE chapter of the year, and its leader. You know, SCORE can be a free and confidential resource for you if you're a business owner who wants to take things to the next level, if you're ready to break out on your own as an entrepreneur, or if you're a business person who's going to share your talents and expertise as a mentor or coach. Then we're going to connect with Connecticut's Agriculture Commissioner and a state Ag Ambassador to talk about how easy, healthy, and economically feasible it is to put CT grown on your plate every day. The holidays are coming and we've got some great gift ideas and great ways to put local on your plate for your holiday meals as well. And then we're going to close with a rep from Eversource addressing the cost of energy and how Eversource is offering a range of programs to assist folks with paying their energy bills. We'll be back with these segments and more on the award-winning For the People with me, John Vokette, right after this reminder. We talk a lot on this program about climate change, and the Connecticut Insurance Department, working with national and international experts, is hosting its third annual conference on climate change and insurance. The department will lead a critical discussion on climate change, resiliency, risk mitigation, and the efforts being made to foster more resiliency in all of our communities. Registration is free for this virtual series of presentations. If you'd like more information or to view the agenda, go to ct.gov/CID Climate Conference. Well, we're opening the program this morning talking business. If you are a business owner, if you're an entrepreneur here in Connecticut, if you're in a job and thinking, well, maybe I finally hit the wall and it's time for me to start my own business. You've always had a dream for a product or a service you'd like to deliver, or something you've even maybe invented or think you've invented. One of the best places to go to get support and vetting whether or not your inspiration is a good idea, and if it is, how to go about making it into a reality, is with our friends from SCORE. And I'm so pleased to have recently made the acquaintance of Will Meikle, who is the SCORE Associate District Director for Connecticut. Will has a 40-year career at IBM. He was a global vice president in finance and operations. And after his retirement a few years ago, he wanted to volunteer locally in the community. And he had was lucky enough, and SCORE was lucky enough to make this match. And he has been tackling with enthusiasm everything that SCORE clients have brought in front of them in terms of vision and ideas. And he is not alone in his capacity representing the chapter in Western Connecticut. He has had dozens and dozens of volunteers who did such good work that just this year, their chapter will, and congratulations, Connecticut Chapter of the Year for SCORE here in Connecticut. So lots to talk about in the next 10, 12 minutes, but thank you for joining us on the program.
Thank you very much, John, and welcome to your listeners. I'm delighted to be here today.
So we kind of hit the high points really quick, so let's dig into it. There, anybody that's in business, I mean, maybe not, you know, a mega corporation, but, you know, businesses large and small can benefit through support and information from SCORE, right?
That's absolutely right, John. You know, this is a resource that for many people, they are not aware of this. I continue to run into clients regularly who are not aware of our capabilities and offerings. And just to recap that for your audience, SCORE is the nation's largest volunteer organization that exists in the United States, in all 50 states and territories. And we've helped over 11 million aspiring business owners through mentoring and education services since we were formed in 1964. So in just a few short months, we will be celebrating our 60-year anniversary of helping small businesses across the country.
And thanks to thousands of those 11 million business people who SCORE has supported, who have become mentors and SCORE volunteers themselves.
Yeah, that's right, John. We have over 10,000 volunteers across the country who are giving of their time and their commitment and sharing their expertise and background with business owners on how to help them through their journey.
Well, here in Western Connecticut, SCORE's chapter, the district chapter of the year, has counseling offices in Danbury, Newtown, New Milford, Ridgefield, and Waterbury. There are abutting SCORE districts who also do equally fantastic work and support in the other communities where you're listening to our radio station, even out there on Long Island or down in Westchester County, up in that little pocket of Rhode Island that can hear some of our stations. Or if you're listening anywhere online, anywhere in the United States, there is a SCORE chapter near you. And if you've got a dream or you've got a business and you want to take it to the next level, one of these volunteers or a number of them, as well as maybe some of their companion programs, workshops, events, and resources can be of assistance to you. So, Will, let's talk about SCORE Western Connecticut and your team there. You've got or had at one time in excess of 50 volunteers spread across these sub-offices giving counsel to hundreds and hundreds of folks, almost all of which who have gone on to at least start and many successfully sustain a business.
No, that's right. We had a great team across the chapter and across the state. Given your nature of your audience covers most of the state of Connecticut, let me bring it up one level. We've got over 300 volunteers here in Connecticut, organized into six geographical chapters that are designed to be close to the small business owners so that if they would like to meet us in person, it's a convenient way to do that. Just to recap that, we have chapters in Eastern Connecticut, the greater Hartford area, New Haven, lower Fairfield County, Western Connecticut, and Northwest Connecticut. And as you said, John, all over the United States. In total, we have about 225 chapters across the United States that are providing these capabilities to these small business owners with people who have a great deal of background expertise in virtually every industry and every business discipline that a small business owner might want to tap into.
So let's talk a little bit about what it's like, what people should expect. I imagine there are a lot of people who have a really hard time when they have a dream to strike out on their own or maybe take a small internet or home-based business and bring it into a brick and mortar environment. There's fear and insecurity. And I have to say, I think one of the best things about SCORE is that at no cost, you can take as much or as little counseling as you think you need, but you are coming into an environment where a proven professional, not just in their own world of expertise, but in their mentoring, have helped many before the individual who's coming in for the first time. So nothing to be afraid of, because many of these businesses succeed and do extremely well.
Yeah, that's right. We are delighted to help people who have a passion or a hobby that they want to help turn into a small business. And we can certainly help them along that journey, whether they're at the stage of just an idea or whether they're ready to actually start it up, or they already are in business and they want to take it to the next level. We're there to help them through that process. And you said it, John, everything that we do is 100% free, and confidential. So if we get into a conversation about your, financial situation, you can rest assured that that will stay between you and your mentor.
And aside from the one-on-one, the in-person, you can supplement many of the individuals who come in through webinars and workshops. Let's talk about a few of the ones that either are available to business people now or that might be coming up through the end of the year and into 2024 at SCORE of Western Connecticut.
Yeah, that's a great question. So we have really two primary offerings that we've referred to here, but let me recap them for your audience. Our primary services are through one-on-one mentoring, where you'll sit down with an experienced professional and just work through your problems, your issues, your questions that you may have. And the other are our education services that you just mentioned, our in-person workshops or our online webinar of workshops. Those cover virtually any topic that you might think of. But our flagship offering that is going on throughout the country is one called Simple Steps to Starting a Business. It is typically a five-week session where you'll go through kind of the beginning stages of starting a business, through the marketing, through finance, and how to ultimately potentially obtain lending grants or loans to help you facilitate the business. That is a great program for us, and it really takes people from, you know, kind of start to finish all the aspects of running a business. The other things that are really hot in this day and age that you'll see if you were to go onto our website or get into our emailing lists is information on social media and digital marketing, which is a really powerful way to get your messages out in a fairly inexpensive manner. Cybersecurity, given all the worries about technology and the security of that technology. Mm-hmm. And the third one that's quickly emerging is the whole artificial intelligence arena and how that is going to change business down the road.
And not to speak ill of any aspiring business operator or entrepreneur, but SCORE is also there for them if things do not go as well as they'd hoped, or if there is the potential that their business could be impacted by man-made or natural disasters. You have disaster prep and recovery planning and support, as well as helping people. You know, the other thing it's hard to do is to ask for help when you think you're going to have to modify or close down or downsize your business, and SCORE is there in that department as well.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And then in just the normal cycle of life, you know, people sometimes get tired of running their business, or they're ready for retirement and they don't just want to shut the business down. Mm. In all cases, they want to maybe look to sell that asset that they've created with themselves, their family, and their employees. And we can help them through that process. I personally have actually helped two businesses go through the sell process. And at the end of that day, all parties involved with that were very pleased, both the selling party and the purchasing party, to continue that business and move it on to the next generation. It was really a fabulous opportunity.
Mm. And in closing out our conversation for today, Will, SCORE could not do all the incredible things that it does for aspiring business people or those that want to enhance or grow or improve their business and their workforce without the volunteers and the mentors that provide that support. So let's take a moment or two to just put the shout out to anyone who, like you, found themselves maybe at a point in their career or at the end of a career, and they have a wealth of knowledge and an attitude like they want to help others.
Yeah, it's great. It's a wonderful organization. I get a tremendous amount of personal pride and enjoyment out of helping people see their visions come to life. So if you are interested, as one of your listeners, in joining our team of volunteers to share your expertise, you can find more information about volunteering at SCORE by going online onto score.org. And it'll tell you all about that process and what various opportunities there are for you. And I certainly would welcome you to consider that. It's really a terrific organization.
Well, we appreciate all the great information this morning. Folks, if you want to check out what's happening in Western Connecticut at the 2023 SCORE District Chapter of the Year, you can go to score.org/Western Connecticut and access that page, or just go to score.org wherever you might be listening and put in your town of location or your zip code, and it will direct you to a SCORE chapter serving you and where you live or you want to do business. SCORE mentors are experienced entrepreneurs, corporate managers, and executives with diverse backgrounds and specialties, and SCORE chapters, including Western Connecticut, gives you free access virtually or in person to all the expertise you need to reach your business goals, all free, all confidential, including templates, resources, workshops, events, and most importantly, that mentor that's going to help you make it happen. Thank you, Will Meikle, for your input this morning. And we can't wait to talk to you and some other SCORE folks again. We'll probably try to circle back in the springtime. And for the meantime, thank you for your time today. Well, listeners, going back, some 30-plus years that I've been working on this program, know that one of my favorite things to talk about is Connecticut agriculture and agriculture in general. I'm so proud to have been chosen as a Connecticut Agricultural Journalist of the Year 3 times over the past 20-some-odd years. I have known and had great relationships with many of the Department of Agriculture Commissioners here in Connecticut, as well as having the honor of working with the folks at FarmAid. So we are so pleased to make yet another commissioner a good friend of ours here on the award-winning For the People. We are so pleased that Commissioner Brian Hurlburt is with us, as well as one of the Connecticut Grown Ambassadors, Amanda Stanton. So you may have heard that there is a challenge going on. That's right, a healthy eating challenge. It's called Put CT Grown on Your Plate. It kicked off a couple of weeks ago on National Farmers Day. And this fall and going into the holiday season, the program is challenging consumers across Connecticut to put CT Grown on your plate. We want you to make room on your plates. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, snack time, and picnic time and holiday time, and think of our Connecticut farmers and agriculture partners and growers. And we're going to talk all about that. Commissioner and Ambassador, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for having us.
So those who are still hardcore big box fruit and vegetable shoppers probably aren't really aware of why it's so important to deal with and utilize Connecticut agriculture, their closest neighbor providers. But in fact, the Department of Agriculture and you, Commissioner, can attest to the economic benefits that Connecticut mm-hmm. agriculture has brought to our state. Why don't we start the conversation there? Because when people say, oh, you know, what difference does it make to me? Well, it's dollars mm-hmm. and cents in their pockets, right?
It is. And thank you for starting off the conversation about the role and the importance of agriculture in our state, not only in our heritage in the past, in our current state, but, you know, what the future of Connecticut agriculture can be. And I really like to give these numbers on the front end of conversations with interviews and with presentations, because it's important for people to, you know, not only think about the pumpkin patch that they go to, you know, a couple of weeks ago to get ready for Halloween, or the apple orchard that they go to once a year, but to think about it at the macro level across the state. You know, if you take all of those local farms that people visit and support during the course of the year, it adds up to 5,500 farms across the state. Those farms provide jobs for over 22,000 people in Connecticut. And 380,000 acres of land are worked. And I think it's important for people to remember, too, that about 80,000 of those acres are underwater in Long Island Sound mm-hmm. with our oyster men and women and their operations. All this adds up to a $4 billion economic impact. So each one of those farm stands, each one of those farmers markets that people go to, when you put all that together, it's a pretty significant economic driver for the state, you know, providing jobs and income for people. But it's also really important because it provides food for people as well. And so, you know, when you're thinking about how to do your grocery shopping, it'd be great if everybody could do all their shopping at a farmer's market or farm stand. You know, I would support that 100%. I realize that there's some challenges to that. And so, you know, one of the proponents of this campaign is how do we break it down into bite-sized pieces for people to understand that you don't have to put your entire plate, you know, be Connecticut grown products, but you can make small additions and small modifications to your grocery shopping, to what you're doing in order to accomplish that. And Amanda will talk about that a little bit later. But at the department, you know, we have a mission to foster a healthy economic, environmental, and social climate for agriculture by developing, promoting, and regulating ag businesses, and promoting an understanding among the state citizens of the diversity of Connecticut agriculture and its heritage and contribution to the state's economy. And I think this conversation today allows me to meet that mission and help listeners learn a little bit about what Connecticut farming means and how it can be a larger part of their regular diet and grocery spend.
Yeah, and before we get too far into talking about what we're eating, I think it's also really important, Commissioner, to remind folks that your team isn't just about supporting Connecticut agriculture and aquaculture. And I think it's really important for people to know who don't that when things go wrong on a farm or in a home that has farm animals, the Department of Agriculture also has both support and police powers. You really help mm-hmm. You and your team really help take care of the animals that are on our farms and make sure that they're being treated well. And when they're not, then you ensure that they are put in a place where they are taken care of.
Well, and our animal control program is one that doesn't get a lot of airtime, if you will, but it's really important. And John, thank you so much for acknowledging. And I think, you know, your listeners in your neck of the woods are really familiar with some of that role. You know, not too long ago, we had that cattle hauler that tipped over coming off 84.
Right.
And we were one of the first responders, both our reg services marketing, agriculture marketing inspection representatives that do on-farm inspections, but also livestock check-ins, and our animal control officers responded as part of that. Working with the local fire departments and the state police and a number of other organizations to make sure that that we were able to save as many of the animals as we could. The state veterinarian, which is housed in the department, gave them a health check and made sure that that the animals were recovering, those that were able to recover from that accident. You may have read in the news that we were a participating group that pulled a cow out of a culvert in Middletown on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Cow was loose for a couple months without our knowledge, but when we found out, we had to put together a rescue operation to get a cow out of a place that a vehicle couldn't get into and was not safe for the animal. But we were able to work with, again, local fire departments and rescue teams to get that animal out and find a permanent home for it. It provides a lot of interesting conversations with my team, but the work we do is really tremendous and meaningful, and we're very proud of some of these efforts.
And in the event that things are not going to go well for the animals that you oversee and care for in your department, they are dealt with humanely. But for the most part, at least according to most of the news stories I hear and read, the outcomes are generally positive. And animals that may have been in distress or not being taken care of as they should often end up in a place that's far, far better for them here on this earth, disposed of. So that's all good news, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk about that piece of your department. In terms of regulation as well, and making sure that all of the various foods that come off of our farms are as healthy as possible, your department also has some purview in terms of regulation and pesticides and, you know, making sure everything that we're eating is as healthy as it can be.
Well, and you know, we have an interesting interesting mission, and I'm glad that, you know, I shared that with everybody on the front end, because we have a responsibility to promote and a responsibility to regulate. And sometimes people say, well, that's a conflict. You can't do both, because you're going to hide the bad stuff and only talk about the good stuff. And the reality is we don't hide the bad stuff. We educate, we regulate, and we encourage people and find them to the path to be in accordance with our food safety laws. And because we are doing that, it makes it easier for us to promote, because we know what products are out there and we understand what is getting to the marketplace. We do have a produce inspection team under the Federal Food Safety Modernization Act, a cooperative agreement with the Food and Drug Administration. We work closely with our sister agency, the Department of Consumer Protection, which has responsibility for processed foods, and the Connecticut Agricultural Experiment Station for some of the tests that need to be done. UConn Extension and the University of Connecticut College of Ag, Health, and Natural Resources is a close partner on the education component of food safety. We want to make sure that Connecticut farmers understand what their responsibilities are, give them the opportunity to be trained up on that, and also give them a safe space to make a phone call and say, hey, I don't know about this. What should I do? And not be worried that means that the you know, the government's going to come in and shut them down. And so, you know, it's a very dynamic group of agencies, but all of us are committed to making sure that the food that's grown in Connecticut, processed in Connecticut, and getting on the plates of Connecticut residents is safe to consume. We take that for advantage in America, sure, right? Sure. I mean, we have some of the safest food in the world.
Yep.
And that takes a lot of work.
Yeah,
but it's worth it in the end.
I was going to say, we're such a small state. We are richly resourced, as you had just ticked off all of those cooperating agencies. We're going to take a quick break now. We're going to give Commissioner Hulbert a break. We're going to bring in the voice of Amanda Stanton. She is a Connecticut Grown ambassador here. And we're going to dig into how you can dig some Connecticut fruits, vegetables, and other fare and put it on your plate. We're going to give you 10 ways to put CT grown on your plate every day. We'll be back in just a few moments. Stick with us for all this great information coming up. Hey, do you volunteer for or receive services from any of the hundreds of nonprofit agencies, community groups, and grassroots organizations in our region? Or maybe you're just looking for ways to help. If your favorite nonprofit is hosting a fundraiser or community building activity, or you'd like to find a nonprofit to support in your neighborhood, just go to our radio station website, hit the events tab, and find one, or discover some of the many causes supported by Connoisseur Media. I'm John Voquette, your public affairs director here at Connoisseur Media, and we'll be back to the award-winning For the People right after this news. In recognition of Prostate Cancer Awareness Month, the Center for Cancer Care at Griffin Hospital in Derby and the Health Initiative for Men, HIM, will host a free prostate cancer screening session from 3 to 5:30 on Thursday, November 9th, this Thursday. You know, approximately 1 in 8 men in the country are going to be diagnosed with prostate cancer this year, and this screening is sponsored by HIM, which encourages men to have an annual physical to raise awareness about health issues like prostate cancer and colorectal cancer. The screening just takes 10 to 15 minutes, but space for these free screenings is limited. So call now, 203-732-1260, 203-732-1260. Or for more information, We are back. Thanks for sticking with us. Obviously, you're getting hungry and you want to find out the best, freshest, fastest way to not only put great healthy food on your plate, but doing it with one of your neighbor or many of your neighbor farmers and agriculture partners here in Connecticut. We're pleased to be with Connecticut Department of Agriculture Commissioner Brian Hurlburt and Connecticut Grown Ambassador Amanda Stanton. Their recent challenge, Put CT Grown on Your Plate, is a healthy eating challenge that just went into effect a few weeks ago. And we're going to talk about how that is all getting done. Amanda, thank you for joining us. So let's get started. First of all, I know that one of the things that was really, really important that we weren't able to touch upon in the first segment was the fact that there are programs available to help folks who may be able to least afford to put Connecticut Grown on their plate every day. And I'm talking about the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program and the Farmers Market Nutrition Programs. Why don't we touch upon those and then we'll jump into the top 10 list.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program and the Farmers Market Nutrition Program allows and creates more accessibility for families of all income levels and budgets at CT Grown farmers markets. So most farmers markets in Connecticut are affiliated with these programs and will accept those programs.
Fantastic. So part of putting CT Grown on your plate each day is knowing how to do it. And so folks can go to ctgrown.org and find this list and ascribe to it, but we're going to share it now. Getting CT Grown products into your daily diet is easier than you might think, and the best way to start is first thing in the morning with morning eggs, right, Amanda?
Yeah, who doesn't love eggs in the morning? So the best way to get your eggs is right at your farm store. So many farms keep flocks of chickens and they offer fresh eggs right at their farm store. The second best thing, because as Commissioner touched on, it's not always accessible or attainable for people to stop at their farmer's market all the time. So if you're at the grocery store, we teach people what brands to look for that are Connecticut grown. So great examples of that are Eglin's Best, The Farmer's Cow, and Hillendale Farms.
Excellent. What's old is new again when it comes to the trundling milk truck in Connecticut neighborhoods. This is a growing new thing here, signing up for dairy delivery, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So a tale as old as time, right? Glass bottles right to your front door. And I participate in the Modern Milkman's delivery program. I get six products for $35 delivered to my door every Monday morning. I start off the week nice and fresh, Connecticut grown. You know, we get a mix of milk, yogurt, cheese, but in addition, you can get all kinds of things. So bagels, cream cheese, they source a lot of products from other local businesses. So you can get things from places like Luann's Bakery, Courtney's Cottage Cheese, which is amazing, these cottage cheese dips. And it's, you know, it comes right to your door.
Now, Commissioner Hurlburt mentioned the apple picking ritual earlier in the segment. And in fact, packing Connecticut grown apples for lunch or keeping one on your own desk or workstation at all times for a quick snack is the third best way to put CT grown on your plate every day.
Yes, and coming up Halloween, an apple sounds really good right now, doesn't it?
Sure.
So yeah, the frosts in particular affected our growers, particularly our orchards this year. So we really want to get the word out. Please support them. If you see apples at your farmer's market, which they will be, please support your local farmer and buy the apples there. Go to your local farmer's market and get your apples or your farm stand. There's also a new cidery in Southington. So Rogers Orchards is actually making hard cider. So I'll just throw in another thing there.
Excellent.
Go up and check that out. It's amazing.
Well, Connecticut Farm to Chef Week is in September every year, but you can always go with, this is item number 4, looking for locally sourced items at your favorite restaurant. That sort of speaks for itself. Amanda already mentioned a number of ways you can find Connecticut grown products when you're grocery shopping, but it's not just about the dairy line. There's a lot of Connecticut grown stuff right there on your grocer's shelves, right?
That's correct. You can find things that will be in season all year long. So you can find honey, sauces, maple syrup, salsa. Another thing you can find locally is meat. So we really, you know, meat at its freshest is its most nutritious and its most delicious. So reach out to your local farm. Typically, if you can get a meat share, if you have space in your freezer, then you have fresh meat all year long.
And this also speaks to the upcoming holidays, because there are a lot of turkey farms in Connecticut and turkeys available, as well as many other types of meats for the holiday, including meats that conform to various certain cultural and religious practices. So it's always a good idea when you're thinking about meat to think beyond the meat rack in your local grocery store and get to know a farmer in your community or in your area that might be able to provide that. Since it's holiday time and gift giving is in the cards for the next couple of months, nothing better than showing up with a bottle of Connecticut wine, right?
Absolutely. I know that's my personal favorite. There are 45 licensed farm wineries in Connecticut. Most of them have stunning, stunning areas where you can do a tasting. There's typically live music. You know, check out the Connecticut Wine Country website to see where there's a local Connecticut farm winery near you, and download the app. My favorite part about the app is you can say, find wine near me. It'll bring you right there.
That's great. Obviously, you can use pick your own food for all of your baking and cooking needs. And of course, as we mentioned, become a regular at your local farmer's market really, if you're the kind of person that likes to shop a little bit every day somewhere, hopefully within a realistic driving distance from where you live, there is probably a farm stand or farmer's market available 7 days a week. And the other way, I know, Amanda, you mentioned you're getting the Monday milk deliveries, but now is the perfect time to start researching subscribing to a CSA in 2024, right?
Absolutely. So start looking now, because you're going to want to sign up. Some farms are actually doing winter shares this year. So you might even be able to get some holiday shares, some winter shares. And then definitely by next February, you want to have your CSA picked out for next growing season.
Very good. I want to circle back to Commissioner Hurlburt, because one of the other driving reasons why it's so important to maybe shed the convenience of just heading to the big box and turning around and heading toward the country and or to your local farmers market is because this was a really, really tough year for Connecticut grown, wasn't it, Commissioner?
This was a challenging year, and I just want to follow up on what Amanda said about CSAs. Do your homework now to find your local farm that does a CSA box. So when you make your New Year's resolution to eat healthier, you've already lined up a pathway to do that. So when the spring comes, you've got a CSA box of fresh produce every week, or different locally grown products, and you can help meet that goal. But back to your question, John. This year, you know, residents kind of, you know, every coffee shop I've been in, every, you know, family get together I've been at, you know, people are talking about the weather. And so that casual observance, when you think about it from what has that meant for our farm businesses? We had a frost freeze in February, really, really high temperatures pushed the orchard fruit along, and then the freeze was really damaging to the peach crop. If people will remember, the third week of May, we had another hard freeze. Again, at a point in the season where especially our berries and our orchard crops and stone fruits were just about ready for fruit set, and the blossoms were out. The freeze killed off a lot of the blossoms on those trees and bushes. And then people will, you know, remember the flooding events, you know, all the water that came down the Connecticut River from Vermont, the rain that we experienced and washed out significant portions of prime agricultural land along the Connecticut River Valley. All of that water dumped into Long Island Sound, and I mentioned, you know, our oyster operation, that created challenges for oystering this year. And then we're at the point now where over the past, you know, nearly 4 or 5 months, it's rained, you know, 3 if not 4 weekends every month. And so when you're doing your, you know, apple picking, you know, it's hard to bundle up and get the kids out to go to an orchard in the rain. It's hard to do a corn maze in the mud. Sure. It's hard to pick pumpkins and do those sorts of, you know, wonderful fall activities when it's raining out. And so that put a lot of pressure and declined sales for Connecticut farmers. Connecticut farmers, as we experienced during the pandemic, were there for us. When people didn't feel comfortable going to a grocery store, when supply chains across the nation were severed because of worker shortages or COVID outbreaks, we didn't have to worry about that when you went to a farm stand or a farmer's market in pandemic in 2020 and 2021. Mm-hmm. They were there for us then. And so on the tough years, if we want them to be there for us again, we need to make sure that we as consumers are there and making sure to visit a farm stand or a farmer's market.
Very good.
As you mentioned, John, you know, you don't have to go too far to sure. find one. So, yep. you know, you can build it into your commute home from work or on your way out to a soccer game or the yep. kids' activities and make it relatively easy.
Very good. We'll leave it there. Commissioner, thank you so much for being part of the program this morning from the Connecticut Department of Agriculture, our very own Commissioner Brian Hurlburt, as well as Amanda Stanton, who is a Connecticut Grown ambassador. You can put Connecticut Grown on your plate every day, but the holidays are coming and there's plenty of reasons to utilize Connecticut Grown for all of your holiday celebrations and gift giving. And you can find out all about it by going to ctgrown.org. Thank you, folks, for being part of the program. And folks, don't forget your local farm stand, farmers market, and farmers every chance you get. Well, as promised, our goal in this last 10 or 11 minutes is to, if you possibly can, to save you some money on your energy bills if you are an Eversource customer here in Connecticut. Excuse me, I am pleased to be with Jess Kane. She's a Vice President of Customer Operations and Assistance Programs for Eversource. And they've got some kind of breaking news, and it's going to affect everyone that gets an Eversource bill in the next billing cycle. A brand new look that is going to be more transparent than ever and help teach you how to break down your energy costs. Jess, tell us about that.
John, thanks for having me. So starting with any residential customers who are receiving their bills this month, they're going to see that front page looks different. It's going to show very transparently 4 sections of what goes into your bill. And you can see it's like nice, bright, top right-hand corner of the bill, a supply portion, and that's about 40 to 60% of your bill. That's the portion you can shop on Energize CT for, completely competitive, that is not in Eversource's business or Avangrid's business. Transmission, local delivery, so that's the cost to build, maintain, repair the poles, meter, and deliver power from the substation, so that's within Eversource. And then public benefits, so the cost to support energy programs that are authorized by the state, and that'll show nice and bright with some percentages on the front page of the bill. that launched this past weekend. And so it should cause some new questions, hopefully help customers really understand what goes into their bill.
And it is really, really important for folks, because when they say, oh, you know, my electric bill went up, or my gas bill went up, or, you know, whatever energy they're getting from Eversource, you know, and it could really be global market forces that are working on it. It's not just because, you know, some room full of executives somewhere in the world of Eversource just decided, you know, we're going to, you know, tack on a few more bucks to everybody's bill, right?
Absolutely. Not only that it could be, it is that the largest portion of your bill that you can control is that supply pricing. So since the late 90s, customers have had the ability to choose their supplier. For many years, customers would have been better off not choosing a competitive supplier, but choosing our own, the service that Eversource or AvantGrid would buy for customers who didn't make a choice on their own. But exactly right, John, last winter, it flipped. And as a result of the global markets and trying to get energy into New England, the prices in that supply portion of the bill went significantly higher than they had been historically. But you can shop on that. And in Connecticut, starting 3 years ago, our regulator made some changes. So there's no cancellation fees and no enrollment fees for residential customers. So you can shop and switch at any time, and you should. You should absolutely take advantage of that. There are material savings. If you're paying attention, again, that's energizect.com. It's the state site. And that would be the biggest portion of your bill that you can, that all customers can choose to save on, residential or businesses.
That being said, please share a word to the wise in terms of being an educated consumer when it comes to figuring out what options to use. You know, if somebody's a brother-in-law down the street is working for a company that can possibly supply you with low-cost energy, you really need to do your homework before you check that box, right?
I would say so. On the EnergyCT website, it's pretty good, and it sorts by the lowest cost. And after it shows, like, I think the first item it shows for supply prices by the utility, so by us or AvantGrid.
Okay.
But then it will also, our regulator has indications by each supplier on whether they've had violations or any issues. And you can switch at any time. So that's the big change that happened about 3 years ago, is really residential customers they're no longer trying to sneaky-like hook you, and then you're stuck and locked into something you don't want to be locked in. But what I would tell all customers and neighbors and friends is about twice a year, about now for January and about late May for July 1, that's when to really pay attention and set yourself like a little reminder twice a year to look at those prices and make a switch before the new prices go into effect, which is usually January 1 and July 1.
Mm-hmm. And the other way that consumers may have some impact on their bill is by maximizing efficiency of not only all of the related appliances and systems in their home, but also the envelope of their home itself. And this is where income-eligible home energy solutions come into play. We've talked about those programs quite a lot on this program with your former colleague, Mitch Gross. So we won't dwell on that. But suffice to say, if people are looking for home energy solutions, they can learn all about that through the Eversource website. What's really exciting, aside from the breaking news that you're going to be getting a whole new and much more transparent and informative and educational bill starting this month if you're an Eversource customer, is the recently launched low-income discount rate. So let's start our segment on finding assistance with talking about this new program.
Great. So we are super excited to launch in December, for the first time ever in Connecticut, for our residential low-income households, a low-income discount rate. So we as Eversource and Avangrid, our colleagues to the south, are launching at discount rate where customers who are in a household that qualifies as low income, and I'll go through what that is a bit, can either get a 10% or 50% discount off of their total bill, period. That's going to make a meaningful difference, and it gets us up to where some of our neighboring states are that we operate in, Massachusetts and New Hampshire, which have had these low-income discount rates for decades. Mm. For low-income households, the best way to find out if you can take advantage of, if you're eligible for these, is go to your local community action agency. You can also call us. You can come to our website to find out more. But your local community action agency, not only can they sign you up, but they can also see if you qualify for energy assistance. So the federal government provides every state heating assistance for the winter. And if you're income eligible, you get money. It's called CEAP, the Connecticut Energy Assistance Program, money towards your heating bill in the winter. When you're at your local community action agency, they can get you that CEAP assistance. They can sign you up for any sort of, for the low income discount rate. And if you have a past due balance, we've had two really good arrears forgiveness programs, or programs that help you kind of matching on your past due balances based on your payments. We've had that for over a decade, and actually several decades we've had one of those too. So that is the best place to get the most assistance. And the time is now. They're open and ready to help as well.
So we're talking about the New Start program and the matching payment program there?
Those two. So the New Start program and the matching payment program, those are offered for customers who have a past due balance, who are low income. And for those programs, when you make your timely payment, Eversource will forgive a portion, basically match and forgive a portion of your past due balance with each timely payment. And so it's not like a traditional payment plan where you have to pay your current bill plus a portion of your past due balance. For New Start and the matching payment plan, you're going to use your average of your monthly bill. So all you would be doing is paying your average monthly bill for New Start, and it would forgive a significant portion of your past due balance each month that you do that. So that's been a great program, and we also offer that in our other two states as well. Mm-hmm. And that's not new, but it's great.
And for those who may not qualify due to income, but things have gotten a little out of control in terms of what they owe, there's options for them as well. A number of bill assistance programs, including a flexible payment plan.
Correct. So for those who are above household income levels for income eligibility for the arrears forgiveness program or the low income discount rate, we have the flexible payment plans, which go up to, takes your past due balance and spreads it out over 18 months. And that helps really give people a manageable portion of their bill to have to pay. But I think one of the things that customers might not know, customers who've never tried to take advantage of the low income programs, they might not know they're eligible. So just want to give like 2-4 examples, because I think there are households out there that think it must not be them.
Okay, we've got about a minute.
You bet. In a household of four, if you've got an income just below $80,000, you would qualify for low income. If you're on Husky B, you would qualify. If you are in a household of four and you make below $48,000, you would qualify for the 50% discount. Or if you get SNAP, you're going to qualify for that 50% discount. So really come forward, take advantage of it, and we really hope to help customers save more, especially those who need it most in the winter.
Well, as you heard, Eversource is there to help with services to manage your energy use and costs. Their programs and payment plans can lower your monthly payments, forgive past due balances, or enable you to pay over time. You simply need to go to eversource.com to get started with the information. Our informative guest this morning is Jess Kane, Vice President of Customer Operations and Assistance Programs at Eversource. Jess, thank you so much for all of this valued and valuable advice on energy cost savings, forgiveness, and savings.
You've been listening to our award-winning public affairs program, For the People. The opinions expressed on this broadcast represent those of our guests and host. If you have a suggestion for an issue, a guest, or a PSA relevant to the audience and community served by our radio station, you must make a request for consideration in writing to me via email at john.voquette@connoisseurct.com. We do not accept pitches or requests for coverage by phone. Remember, no part of this program may be copied, disseminated, or rebroadcast. Our public file detailing the many critical community and state issues addressed on For the People can be reviewed upon request during normal business hours at 440 Wheeler's Farms Road in Milford or on our station website. Our theme music is by Rick Miller and Scott's, with original music by Noel Viette. I'm Director of Public Affairs, John Voquette. Join us again this time next week for more conversation and information on the award-winning For the People. And don't forget, you can listen to this and other For the People podcasts anytime on iTunes or under the podcast tab on our station's website. Until this time next week, thanks for listening.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.